So I have like a funny Easter sermon that I'm going to do that is silly, and you're going to like it. But like you, I woke up this morning and saw on my newsfeed that many of our brothers and sisters were killed in Sri Lanka at this very festival celebrating Easter. And I know that that's in the room, and so I just want to acknowledge it. And I want to say that in the face of something like that, this can feel very trivial. It can feel very self-indulgent. Like, look at all the fancy clothes and the music, and why would we do something like this? The reason we gather today is this is an act of resistance. And it is an act of resistance against the destructive and violent capacities that are out there in the world that try to instill fear and name that as the strongest force in the universe. And today we gather to say no. We gather to say there is something that is worth all this attention, and it is the fact that the love that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is stronger than anything else that's out there. And as we live into that, and as we work in that way, we contribute to the healing of the world. The violence and the death is the aberration, because death is not the end of the story. So I speak to you in the name of that love, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, hard right turn. Here we go. So did anybody see down at the Cranky's Airstream earlier this year, the Institute of Cute pop-up museum? Did anybody see that? Yes, okay, I learned about it from you. It's basically, it was a cool thing, it was a pop-up museum, and they were investigating this phenomena of why do we find cute things cute? Why does it work that way? And so there's actually this science behind it. A German scientist, Konrad Lorenz, researched it, and he named sort of a collection of traits that he called the Kinshin Shima, which is basically like the baby face traits, that like the large eyes, larger head in relationship to the body, exaggerated cheekbones, all basically baby face or like a pop vinyl. If you've ever seen a pop vinyl, that's kind of what we find cute. And like, what's interesting is that the cuteness can sometimes lead to something he named as cute aggression. And you know what I'm talking about, cute aggression? It's when you see something that's so cute, you just want to take it and squeeze it until its little bones crush in your hands. You don't really want to crush it in your hands. You just feel the thing. Do you know what I'm talking about? Yeah. It might actually be easier to show you. So I have some helpers here from the Humane Society. Yes. So we have some beautiful buddies here. This is Draco. These three kitties are all, they've just come in. And Sarah Williamson is here from the Forsyth Humane Society. Hi, Sarah. Which I don't know if you know, St. Paul's had a hand in actually starting. We have like this long history that goes back in this city. But it's pretty cool. So these kitties, like, you see, I know, this right here, this is what I'm talking about. Do you see, you want to pet the kitty? You want to hold him? Yeah. Yes. All right, do you see that right there? It's like, you can't even name it. It's just like overwhelming. No, you're not going to crush it, are you? Yeah. All right, let me take it back. I'm going to pass them over.
Oh, I don't want
to. I know, nobody wants to. They're kind of stressed out because they've been played with all day. Oh, yeah, buddy. Yeah, so they're so cute, right? Like, do you know, do you want to pet the kitty? My daughter's about to cry petting the kitty. What is that phenomena? What is, do you want to pet the kitty? You want to pet it? Yes. Now they're cute. They're hanging out in the vestry. Yes. Isn't it kind of a glorious thing? Like, you see the cats and you want to touch it. You want to pet it. Are you crying?
Yeah.
Do you want me to say something that'll make you cry?
No.
Okay, you good? Yeah. Do you want to pet the kitty?
Sure.
Are you a cat person?
No.
Somebody earlier was like, what are you trying to do, Dixon? Springtime allergies, incense, and cats? Do you want to kill somebody today? All right, so why do I have cats out here at Easter? Like, why are these kitties in the room other than to grab your attention, right? It's because that phenomena of seeing it and just being so overjoyed, that is like a beautifully human moment. It's something that's just so glorious and fun to enjoy when you see someone do it, especially when they themselves are people that you love. And it's a beautiful thing. And why we're talking about it on Easter Sunday is because Easter is all about the affirmation of the human. Oh, yeah. It's about the affirmation of the created. Because Jesus is resurrected, and he's resurrected with a body. Jesus is not resurrected as a metaphor. It's Jesus's physical form comes back to life in the first fruits, as 1 Corinthians calls it, of a new creation. The promise that Isaiah heard that God will make a new heaven and a new earth, we proclaim on Easter Sunday, it's happened. Here, it's happening right now in Jesus' resurrected body. As it went for Jesus, it's going to go for the whole creation. The whole thing is getting put back together, which means that Easter is a radical and resounding affirmation of the created. Everything that this world is, God says, it's good. It was made good. It's going to be put back together and made good again. So that's food and cake and wine and sex and hiking and fresh air and sunsets and kitties. And the just overwhelming cute aggression you might feel when there's a kitty sitting on your lap during worship. No, no, you got to hold it because I got to preach now. Now, if you get stressed out there, let me know. The cats, incidentally, are all named after the dragons in Game of Thrones, which we decided made Sarah Khaleesi the mother of dragons. So I don't know if you're going to make it this season, girl. We'll see. So affirmation of the created. Now, this could sound different or unusual, because sometimes the Jesus story gets told like what Jesus came to do was save us from all of the human stuff. That the body and this creation is a liability, and so God had to send Jesus so that we could sort of get taken somewhere else, I don't know, the spirit world where it's good. But that is not the proclamation of this gospel. The proclamation of this gospel is full of the insistence that it's this world that God is affirming and saying it's going to be healed. It's not like it's supposed to be, but it's going to be made whole. That is why also Jesus, when he talks about himself in the scriptures, especially in the gospels, he doesn't use the term Son of God very often. In fact, in the synoptics, he never calls himself the Son of God. Only like Pilate and the Roman officials and Satan call him the Son of God. His preferred term is what?
The Son of Man.
Yeah. And like that term is kind of loaded, and it's got lots of history for Jesus and his people, like his tribe. It goes back to the book of Daniel. But do you know what it means? It means the human one. It means the human one. And so you see Jesus in his ministry, in his life, and then in his resurrected form, affirming the profound goodness of the human experience of you and me and our bodies and this creation all being restored, redeemed, and made whole and new again. That is pretty good news on an Easter Sunday. Now, some of you rightly are going to say, aren't human beings, though, kind of the issue? Like, aren't they kind of the worst? Like, literally sometimes? Like, I know human beings. I am a human being. I've got problems. I contribute to some stuff. Absolutely. Nobody denies that human beings are capable of incredible destruction and violence and self-centeredness. We all see it. I had to stop my sermon to talk about it. That's the thing. The theological category for that is called sin. That's how we talk about it. And we say sin is real, but what happens on Resurrection Sunday, what happens on Easter, is that while that is true, Jesus is telling us and proclaiming that it is true, but it is true inside a larger framework. And that larger framework is the fundamental goodness of you and this creation. Yes, you have the capacity to do dumb, hurtful things. You have incredible energies that you can misdirect in this world. But when you do, you are off course from who you're meant to be, because it's all affirmed and good underneath it all. That is the larger story, is of affirmation and goodness. Are you with me on this? All right, so here's why something like this matters. It matters because when we hurt each other and we like break relationships, the thing that keeps us from reaching out and saying we're wrong or seeking forgiveness and reconciliation, so often it's the fact that our egos are terrified that if we admit we've done something wrong, then we are bad people. Do you know what I'm talking about? Like that thing where you're like, if I ever had to own up to that, then maybe I'm bad. And what happens with resurrection. It's like, oh, no, no, no. You can admit that you're wrong. You can release the ego that wants to say, I shouldn't ever own up to that. Because even in your worst instincts, that's not who you actually are. Because fundamentally, resurrection proclaims your goodness because it's good to be human. Are you following me? Or what about this? I meet a lot of people and talk to a lot of people who carry around a profound envy and jealousy for people they perceive to have been given things that they themselves were not given. And so kind of in the heart of their being, they're like, I wish I had somebody else's life. I wish I had their body. I wish I had their family. I wish I had their career. I wish I had their resource, their wealth, whatever it is. And they find themselves in this sense of always looking over the fence to see what somebody else has. And what happens on Resurrection Sunday is you get to be drawn back and go, oh, no, no, no. Things could have gone wrong in any of those areas. Things might not be perfect. They might not be right. But where it starts is with the fact that it's actually good that you were born into the family you were born into. You have to start saying it's good that I have the body that I was given. It's good that I have access to the resource I have access to. Before anything can be named as wrong or flawed, it has to start by being named that it was good. And it will change things. Because all of you have incredible capacity for destruction. Totally. I've seen it in Charles Duckett more than anybody. It's not true. But you know what else you have? You have incredible power to create and heal and reconcile. And we know this in our bones. This is why all of us grieved when we watched Notre Dame burn, right? There was no loss of life at Notre Dame, but yet we like collectively, globally, all of us were like, oh my gosh, I feel sick to my stomach. Why did we feel that way? Well, we felt that way because Notre Dame is this beautiful expression of human creativity and generosity and worship. And when we watch it go up in flames, we're like, oh no, that's not right. Like, in the name of Jesus, that's not right. There's something sacred about that kind of human expression because it's good to be human. So here's your practice for Easter. And we can collect the cats now. Are the cats still floating around? I don't even know where they are. We got one here. We lost one of them in between the services. The kids were all coming in to check them out, and somebody came in and was like, have you seen the cat? Because my daughter took her. And anyway, so here's the practice. I want you to turn to the people next to you, and what you're going to say is you're going to look them in the eye, and you're going to say, it's good that you're here. But don't do it yet, but here's where you're coming from. First off, it is good that you're here. And for some of you, it's good that you're here. Welcome back. But not just at St. Paul's, but also I want you to say it like from that deep sense of ontology, a sense of like, it is good you're on this earth. It is good that you are you and your skin and your body with your resource, the way you're living in this world. That needs to be affirmed. So affirm it to one another, and I'm going to return the cats, and then we're going to close this sermon. So go ahead. It's good that you're here. It's good that you're here. Good that you're here. It's good that you're here. It's good that you're here. Okay. But before I lose the entire congregation, so this is the thing. You just had a good run of affirming the people around you, and some of you had to receive it from somebody else. I want you to level that prayer in your bathroom mirror this week. I want you to look yourself in the eyes and say, it's good that you're here. Because it is an affirmation on Easter Sunday of the human and the human experience in all of its A to Z-ness, including cats and the cuteness of a kitty. So may you know the hope and the goodness of your humanity in the name of Jesus as deeply in your bones as you do know that this cat is pretty darn cute. Amen.